Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thank you for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in DeKalb.
That would be really weird.
Mm.
And talked about Kemper County yesterday, though.
We did. That's it was on the brain, so...
Yes, I've been through there many a time.
Oh, I can't tell you the number of times I've driven through Kemper County. It's a large number. I'll be doing it this weekend. So,
is that the way you go to the coast?
Yeah,
like through like on 45 or through DeKalb?
No, not through DeKalb. No, I think 45 down to I-20. Then yeah. I got 59
going to Meridian that way. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever actually been to DeKalb, so.
Oh, I have many times.
I know you have.
We used to play Kemper Academy and Winston, so yeah.
Well, you know then how weird it would be if Brupolo was there.
It'd be weird, but it'd be a nice addition. There's no doubt about it.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can join us, or you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Don't forget, the holidays are coming up. Go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. If you've got a coffee lover in your life, they have great gifts to put under the tree for that person. The Mississippi Beef Council wants you to remember that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're not cooking out, well, let somebody else cook out for you. Go to one of our great steakhouses across the state of Mississippi. They are everywhere that you can want to find somewhere to eat a great steak. We've got them. You're not too far away at any time if you're in the state of Mississippi. Beef, it is what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and I know that you are looking for it. You need to get the gear with the new logos on it. They have it at College Corner. The holidays, I keep saying it. I'm in that mode now where everybody who sells things, I'm going to tell you that the holidays are coming up. I don't want you to get caught with your pants down on Christmas morning and you didn't get the right gift. Head over to College Corner to get a perfect gift for the Mississippi State fan or even the Ole Miss fan in your life. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be eating, I got to be honest with you. I feel like I'm going to be paying for a meal very soon for Robbie Falk, and I wonder if Restaurant Tyler is going to be on the docket for us. But you know what? It's anytime I get together with Robbie Falk, it's a special occasion. But it's even more special when you're at Restaurant Tyler. So you don't need to have an anniversary or a first date or anything to go to Restaurant Tyler. Just going to Restaurant Tyler itself can be the special occasion. That's how good the food is there. Enjoy a great meal at Starkville's best restaurant, Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where they are located, but how they're going to help you invest, prepare for the future. How they can help you manage your money. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You can't afford to wait around. You can't afford to be on hold for 45 minutes. You can't afford the way that the big corporate banks treat you. You need a local bank like Priority One that understands how to serve their customers. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Hey, Robbie, where are you going to be tomorrow night? Tonight, actually. It's tonight as we're recording. You going to be in Starkville, Tupelo?
I'll be at the Hump for Hoops. Women's basketball.
Okay. I will be at Starkville Tupelo. I wonder if I've seen a worse beat. If I'm going to see a worse beating than what Arkansas did to State. I got a bad one.
I never know with Starkville. Like,
Jekyll and Hyde.
At any time, they can turn it on. That's the thing. You know, 2 years ago, they won the state championship as the number four seed. I think they're going to be the number three seed this year. But that team was, like, left for dead. I mean, they lost to Clinton. They lost to Tupelo.
They got the number four seed. They should be the four seed, right? If they lose to Tupelo.
There's a chance. There's a good chance there's going to be a three-way tie. And they win the three-way tie over Clinton. And
because they beat Germantown 3-5-0?
It's the points thing.
Yeah.
I believe that's correct. If there's a three-way tie with them, Clinton, and Germantown, they'll be the three.
They wouldn't host either way, though, right?
If they beat Tupelo, they can be the number two seed.
Well, if they beat Tupelo.
If. It's a big
if.
But I think in that instance, I believe Clinton would have to beat Madison Central, which is – who knows? You just never know.
I'm going to hang out with you tomorrow. That's all I wanted to know. Yeah.
Well, like every single time, like you count Starkville out, they seem to find a way. So I don't count Chris Jones out.
All right, we'll see what happens there. Shouldn't count out Mississippi State soccer either.
So no, you should not.
What a tremendous win for the ladies! Now, as we're recording, they have another game on Wednesday, so that they may already have
been Thursday.
Yeah. So like they are no Wednesday. As we're recording, they haven't played yet today.
Oh, I thought you meant they have another game on Wednesday, you were saying.
They have another game. No, I'm saying they have another game that's already happened. I could future Brian it, but I'm not going to fool with that today. But I think you and I both agreed yesterday that a win yesterday, putting them in the semifinals, probably locks up a one seed for them. They're not going to have more than two losses. They've undefeated in SEC play to this point. They've only given up, five goals on the year now? Although that defense is leaky now. It's two games in a row somebody scored on them. I don't know what's going on there.
I mean, Tennessee didn't even score. Like, that was State kind of standing in the way and it bounced off of. So, it has to be kind of fluky for you to score against this team, it feels like.
What a tremendous sequence there at the end, though. First off, you have the penalty save by Maddie Anderson. Great job to get down low and scoop that up. Because, I mean, the percentage of penalties makes is high. It's just high because it's just a one-on-one, and the goal is so big, it's just tough. So, we've talked to James Armstrong about Maddie Anderson, he raves about her, and you sort of see why there. I watch a lot of soccer, as you know. I mean, to the point where I would be honest with you, I probably watch more soccer than NFL, and that may surprise you or not, but I will watch teams other than my team in soccer, whereas with the NFL, I really just kind of focus on the Saints and anything else, if I'm watching, I'm not really actively watching it. So I watch a lot. And I am telling you right now that there may not be a better pass all weekend. There may not have been a better pass in the Premier League this year than what the one that was unveiled yesterday for the winning goal. That was an incredible. Can I do Ray Hudson? I don't know. You don't know who that is, but let's see if I can do it.
No.
I don't know if I can do him or not. It's like, what an incredible piece of football that is. Oh, absolutely diabolical!
Well, I don't know anything about that, but I've sat down and watched most of the games this year from this team, and they are making me a soccer fan. They really are. Hannah Johnson yesterday, that pass was
sublime is the word you're going to be looking for there.
The goal that she had earlier in the matchup was incredible too.
Yes.
She made a turnaround, and I think with the left foot, struck it in there, and it was gorgeous. And it was like one full motion. Like, I don't know how they do that. Watching plays like that and, the pass that she made in the goal was – I mean, it was – like, my wife was invested in this game, and she does not care about football. She doesn't care about basketball. She wanted to sit there and watch this. So I don't know what it was about the soccer, but she wanted to watch it, and it truly was incredible. And it felt like State was playing defense the entire second half.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were constantly stressful, and they never folded on it. They talked about it whenever Maddie Anderson got the stop on the penalty kick. They talked about a little bit about her demeanor. Like it stood out to them immediately that she just she stopped it, got up.
Yeah.
Everybody's coming up and hugging her.
She's not even celebrating.
The ball back in. She made no She had no reaction to it. Just, you know,
all
just
business. Like, that's
that
great.
Should have been the end of the. That should have been the end of the game.
It should have been. Like, that should have been how it went out. So yeah. This article I'm reading. What Premier League team should you support based on your NFL team? As a Steelers fan, it tells you that you should support Nottingham Forest. Now that's a tough call. They're not a great team, but this year they're good. I think they're in third right now. So maybe you jump in on the ground floor here with that team.
I think I'm just going to stick with SEC soccer for now.
Okay.
I support James Armstrong. This is a James Armstrong stan account. I support him and him only for right now. There is the ability to move forward with this. I don't know if I'm going to do that yet, but for now, this is what I'm going to do.
Interesting. The team it tells me to support is Brighton and Hove Albion, which is Bob Karskadden's team. So we could have teamed up there, but oh well.
What's the correlation?
Let's do yours first. So for Forest, let's find a franchise in a working class city with past glory looking to find itself again. The Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the league's most successful franchises in the year past, and Pittsburgh itself is a city with a strong sports pedigree like Nottingham and a fan base that is looking to see its team come back to prominence. So there you go.
Is there any kind of like Robin Hood lore around this team?
Well, I mean, you know, it is Nottingham Forest right there. The stadium's right there on the River Trent. And like their big rival is Notts County, which is a lower level team, right? So kind of like if State and USM were huge rivals, but Davis Wade Stadium was across a river from M.M. Roberts. Like
they're that close.
Yes, you could throw a football almost and hit the stadium. They're right next to each other.
Okay,
so, there you go.
But yeah, this was truly electric.
This season has been electric, Robbie. I mean, they legitimately can win it. I got myself looking for soccer analysts. I'm like, who at the SEC Network is their, you know, their David DeLucci?
They have a guy.
I need to find him. What's his name?
He was on at halftime. Like I was shocked. They had a halftime report, and it was I don't even know who the guy was, but he's British.
I would reach out to Peter Burns, but his mom just passed away. I know he's probably not in a work.
Dari Nokwa was on there with the guy. Maybe you could DM him or something.
I need to figure that out. I need to get somebody on that can talk about the NCAA tournament coming up and what Mississippi State's chances of really bringing home a national championship are. So that's a great start to the weekend with the SEC tournament. Mississippi State looking to claim that title as well. In soccer parlance, that would be called doing the double.
Why are there so many like people get mad if you don't say the exact expression?
The vernacular is important. It's not a pass, it's a ball.
Like, no, you can't say that. Like, what are we supposed to do?
Well, I mean, you never say put the ball in the goal. You say put it in the net.
See, I mean, that's a goal. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah, a goal but is to put the ball in the net.
Sometimes we get mad at people that's like they score. I'm trying to think of one that somebody's used.
I know one that I've seen people do is when they say you scored points in baseball.
Yes, that's
a bad one. Drives me insane. Can't deal with that.
Yes.
Knocked
in a field goal, like that bothers me.
Yeah. So, like, yesterday, that's not a great pass. It's a great ball.
It's a ball.
Yeah. Great ball.
I mean.
I think
the biggest takeaway here, Brian, is it doesn't matter if you're a lifelong soccer fan or not. If you're watching that, you know it's good.
Yeah. Oh, as soon as it left her foot, I was like.
I mean, it was
that
pure.
Has a chance, and it just landed perfectly. And we'll give some more parlance here. The finish was equally good because to the timing of that, the ball comes in. You got to put it on that foot. You've got to hit it towards the corner of the goal there. That is not easy. So the
it was
pass
perfect. It was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, every bit of that play was world class. I mean, from the ball in and then the finish, incredible. Absolutely incredible. I spent the evening thinking about famous goals, trying to find one. I couldn't do it. I know there's one like it, but of a ball that comes in like that and just the one-time finish like that, that was fantastic. Really
but it cool. shows you, like, I think they even said this on the broadcast too. Like, if you have a chance against State, you better take advantage of it.
Yeah,
because they will make you pay.
Yeah,
they will make you pay big time, and that they've done it year in and year out. You know, they fell behind in a couple of matches. They've found a way to come back. They got a tough matchup with South Carolina, who they've just played.
Who they just beat? Yeah,
and you know, that's a team that's playing fairly well. They're a really good team. I think that's going to be a good test for them. But if they make it out of this, I think they got a shot either way. But if they make it out of this, you know, win the SEC tournament going into postseason play, I mean, this is a team they're going to be playing at home throughout the tournament until they get to the Final Four or whatever that's called. And they've been really good at home. Mm-hmm. So this team is setting itself up. This is – legitimate. This isn't a, you know, they just play good defense. This team can score too. Mm-hmm. They kind of do a little bit of everything, but this is a team that you look at and a lot like the, you know, some of the baseball teams that they've had here in women's basketball, they are legitimate national championship caliber team. Like, this
they're
is a team that
in the country. It's not a fluke at this point.
This isn't a team that's just gotten hot. This isn't a team that just does one thing well.
Yeah,
they can take away everything that you do offensively, and they can beat you in what you do well defensively.
Yeah.
And I think the most impressive game they've had all year is the Arkansas, because Arkansas, if you look at what they've done offensively this year, it's nuts.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're good offensive.
They shut them out.
Yeah, and they not only they shut them out, I think they only had like four or five shots on target.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one thing to, you know, they can't score, but they're peppering the goal. They can't even get shots off against this team. So, yeah, this has been a fun run. I'm interested to see how far it can go. I mean, next weekend, when the tournament will start, I mean, you know, you don't have football here next weekend, but you still may have big crowds. I mean, I think, you know, that was 2867 was the record crowd just a couple of weeks ago. I think they're gonna top 3,000 if they can. You know, I don't know if you want to bring in some temporary seating, you know, what Zach Selman wants to do there, but my guess is as many people as you can fit in there, as you want to show up, will fit in there. So,
yeah, that's something that we always say is like Mississippi State's going to support a winner.
Yeah.
When they get a chance to see it, they'll show up. I mean, I don't know how many people would have shown up for that softball super regional a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They had to cut it off at one point. And, you know, the tickets went to season ticket holders, football or something, that you're going to have some kind of lottery system or something here. I mean, the demand is going to be extremely high. So it's fun. I love these organic builds at Mississippi State where a coach comes in and takes over something that hasn't done anything before and builds it up to something special. I love that.
Yeah,
and that's where we are right now. I don't think they've been to a semifinal ever in the SEC tournament, if I'm not mistaken. And now James Armstrong, I think, has taken them to three in a row. So just continues to make history. It's really truly unbelievable. And even if you're not a soccer fan, which I've come out and admitted it for years, this team's been really fun to watch.
Yeah. They're really cool. It's a really cool story, and I'm interested. Like I said, I want to see how far it's going to go. They can win the national title. I'll just say that. You know, they lost to Wake Forest, who's another top five team, 2-1. You got to think they would like to get revenge in that situation, but they can compete with anybody. So we'll see where it takes us. All right, I was not planning on that being our opening segment, but you know what? Sometimes you just get some, you like something organic. There you go. I just gave it to you right there.
I love organic podcasts.
Do you like organic food?
No.
No, it's a little it's expensive. It's expensive.
And you know, some of it doesn't taste good. I like my food to taste good.
Yeah, I like the bugs. The bugs add a little extra.
Which is kind of the issue right now with, I don't want to go too far down it, but, you know, preservatives and the stuff we put in food, they make it taste good for a reason.
Yeah.
They're actually really terrible for you.
Correct. There you go.
So, I'm not discouraging organic food. It's just, it's not always for me.
Very good. Let's go into an opponent preview here. Let's talk a little bit about Mississippi State, Tennessee this weekend. And that's brought to you by our good friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. Whatever the message of your business is, Pip Printing and Signs can help you spread that, can help you get customers coming in the door and keep them coming in the door for years to come. If you own a business, you know how important printing is. Why would you want to work with anyone but the best? Give Cam Baker a call today at Pip Printing and Signs, 601-499-5216. Tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning, and then tell him that you want him to help your business take off and get that message out there. That's what Pip Printing and Signs is going to do for you. When you need printing, call Pip today. Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. That do sound good. I could go for some smoked Southern soul food right now. I can go for a build-your-own basket of pork rind nachos or maybe just some chicken chipotle tacos. It's been a while since I've had those, and I'm starting to get the jonesing for that. I'm also jonesing for a fancy sandwich, the Croque Monsieur, my favorite, over at the Older Brother, Starkville's best new restaurant. When you want to have a fantastic sandwich, you need to head over to the Older Brother. If you haven't been there yet, you are absolutely missing out. Two Brothers Smoke Meats, the Older Brother, right there in the Cotton District, two of my favorite places in all of Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50.
When you need business technology, if you need a new copier, a new printer, you need to give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then when you have a problem, you can call them back. You can talk to the same people. They will take care of it. You don't have to worry about it with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192. Visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at the games this fall, and now going into the winter, you need to be at Maroon & Co. Before you come to Davis Wade Stadium, the Hump, Duty Noble Field, make a stop at Maroon & Co. and pick yourself up some new gear. Use our promo code THUNDER15 for 15% off regular price. Some exclusions will apply. Again, guys, the holidays are almost upon us. Go to the website, maroonandco.com, and you can get everything you need for the Bulldog fans in your life. You can get it under the tree with one stop, and you can save a little money with our promo code THUNDER15 with Maroon & Co. All right, earlier today, I talked to GoVols 24/7's Ben McKee. He's been on the podcast with us many times. Got his thoughts on this weekend's game. I got his thoughts on Jeff Lebby and Josh Heupel and how their first ever matchup's going to look. Let's go down to that interview. I talked earlier today to Ben McKee from GoVols 24/7. He's joined us many times before. Ben McKee, GoVols 24/7, covers the Tennessee Volunteers and been doing so for a long time. I know you guys talked to Josh Heupel earlier this week. When we talked to Jeff Lebby and asked him about his relationship with Heupel, I think the term was, I have more respect for him than anybody else in this business. That's pretty high praise when you consider how coaches work and operate. What did Heupel have to say about his relationship with the Mississippi State head coach?
Yeah, he had a lot of good things to say as well. And this is kind of the second time this season that Josh Heupel has gone through something this unique. That's his favorite word to use. He used it earlier this week in saying it will be very unique on Saturday because he shared meeting rooms with not only Jeff Lebby, but a lot of other staff members on Mississippi State staff as well. And that was kind of his go-to word back in September when Tennessee was playing Oklahoma, and not just the familiarity of him going back to his alma mater, but working with Coach Venables and then now coaching against him. So Josh Heupel is experienced. He's still not a man of very many words. He's not he has an awesome personality. He just does not like doing media, so he doesn't necessarily let it show in those settings. But a lot of great things to say. Just a couple of moments ago in the SEC teleconference, he talked about how Coach Lebby is just very smart, high IQ, great football mind, and really gave him kudos for how Mississippi State has gotten better over the course of this season. Maybe not necessarily in the win-loss column, but you can see them making strides offensively, still playing hard despite the record, and he kind of chalked that up to just the respect that Coach Lebby commands and his football IQ and how people kind of gravitate towards him. So Josh Heupel's had a lot of great things to say about Jeff Lebby this week.
I'm not trying to toot my own horn, I promise. But when we talked back in the summer, I told you I was very high on Tennessee. I thought they were going to be a playoff contender. So far, that has held up for the Volunteers. But they're doing it in a different way. You know, you think Josh Heupel, and you think, man, they're going to be moving up and down the field and all those big plays. This has become a nasty defensive team. How surprised are you to see this new identity for Tennessee?
I'm not surprised that the defense is what it is. I'm more surprised that the offense has been plagued as much as it has been. The defense has been building year by year. Now, did I think that they were going to take this big of a step this soon? No, I still kind of thought they were maybe a year away from having the potential to be one of the best defenses in the SEC. And now all of a sudden they have one of the best defenses, not just in the SEC, but in the entire country. And you can make the case that they are the best defense in the entire country. Certainly the defensive line, that's kind of where it all starts. So I am a bit surprised that they're this good ahead of schedule. But there were signs the way they were recruiting, some young guys developing. They've done a really good job of hitting on all of their portal additions. They don't go out and get 30 of them like a school in your state does. It's usually a smaller group, but the ones that they bring in are very, very impactful. And that's happened on the defensive side of the ball. It's the offensive side that's been more surprising to me that has forced them to have the identity that they do have this season. The offense just is not where myself and a lot of people thought it would be this year for various reasons. I'm sure you'll ask about it, but not to answer your question about the defense, I'm not totally surprised just because, again, the foundation was laid just a little bit earlier than I anticipated.
Well, let's talk about that offense. Did we just expect too much too soon from Nico at this point? I mean, I think you spend the whole offseason, you're like, this kid looked really good in the bowl game. He's a five-star. He's going to be great. And he's been good, but I feel like we may have set our expectation level a little too high for a guy who didn't have very much experience.
1,000%. We absolutely did. And I my opinion of Nico and his long-term potential has not changed at all this season. I do think he's been a victim to some circumstances around him, other positions on the offense letting him down at times. But he has also played poorly at times as well. There's no doubt about that. He played poorly in the Arkansas game. Just the common theme with this Tennessee offense is it's just everybody takes their turn in letting the rest of the offense down. If Nico is putting the ball on the money, the football is being dropped. Or if the receiver is open and Nico sees the receiver, then it's the protection breaking down, or it has been a bad interception or two at times from Nico, or rushing a throw, not staying in the pocket as long as he should. I feel like early October, especially with that Arkansas loss, obviously, and then Florida was a bit up and down. First half of Alabama was a struggle for him. Got it going in the second half. So I thought that's where you could see the inexperience. And that's what this year has been a reminder of to me in regards to Nico and not winning the Heisman Trophy like a lot of people talked about him over the offseason. It's hard, man. Your Trevor Lawrences are rare. And like Nico has the same ceiling as a guy like that. It's just, I mean, I look around the country and I know the quarterback class maybe isn't the best right now, but I mean, Shador, Quinn Ewers, you know, the big time quarterback names in college football, they've all been doing this for a while now. And I know Carson Beck's had a down year, but he's an older guy, been around the block. And Nico's struggles have come from inexperience, not because of lack of talent or lack of potential or anything along those lines. So, yes, it was certainly – we placed too high of expectations on him. But I do feel like right now going into this week, he's actually playing his best football. I thought he was phenomenal last week against Kentucky. And speaking of the receivers letting him down, if there were two touchdowns dropped. And if those were caught, and they should have been caught, they should have been caught in high school. And if those two passes are caught, he's 30 of 38 for around 400 yards, three touchdowns, and no interceptions against a Mark Stoops defense, which is down this year, but it's still a Mark Stoops defense. So it's been a roller coaster, but I do feel like he's hitting his stride. We'll see if he can build some consistency.
Another thing we talked about in the summer was Dylan Sampson. I talked about, I thought he was very underrated, and you and I both agreed he was due for a breakout season. He has delivered that. He's the SEC's leading rusher, I think 19 touchdowns rushing on the season. Outside of Ashton Jeanty, maybe no running back in the country having a better year than Dylan Sampson. What's been the biggest key to him breaking out and becoming this top running back in the conference?
Yeah, I just think it's his motor and his mentality. I mean, he is the leader on this football team. There are a lot of leaders on Tennessee's football team, but he's the loudest voice, I would say. You watch them pregame, and when they huddle up before they go through their team warmups after the offensive linemen and defensive linemen make it out onto the field, because those are the last two positions to make it out on the field for warmups. Dylan Sampson's the one speaking to the team when they're all huddled up in the end zone, and they love him. They adore him. So obviously he has a ton of ability, very Alvin Kamara-esque in terms of shiftiness and strength for how compact he is. But I just it's his will and his motor. I mean, there have been games they almost beat Arkansas because of what Dylan Sampson was able to do in the second half. He put the team on his back in the second half against Florida, did it against Alabama, had another big night last week against Kentucky. I mean, it's just he refuses to lose, quite frankly. And so there's obviously a lot of skill involved. He's going to play football a long time because of it. But I just think mentally, he is just so advanced for his age. And all you need to know is that Tennessee put him on the leadership council as a true freshman that fall. And so I think that speaks to his leadership ability and his mentality. And I think that's, yes, he has a lot of skill, but I think that's kind of what sets him apart from a lot of people is it's just the will not to lose.
You've mentioned that Arkansas game a couple of times. And obviously, that was a very tough loss for Tennessee, very unexpected loss. What's something that that Arkansas did in that game that if you're Mississippi State, you need to say, can we find a way to do that too?
Yeah, it's beat up on Tennessee's offensive line. And
well,
I realize
I got bad news, Ben.
I know.
That wasn't the correct answer. So.
Yeah, I know Mississippi State fans don't want to hear that given the struggles defensively this season. But that is what Arkansas did with – and they really did it on the interior. You know, teams like to drop into the 3-3-6 a lot. Or the 3-2-6 against Tennessee a lot. And Arkansas did a good job of having like a hybrid linebacker safety. I'm blanking on his name, but the Jackson State transfer, who's a linebacker, but they used him more as kind of that hybrid role where they would show him in the box and then he would kind of drop out. Because for Tennessee's offense, it's all about numbers. And if you have the numbers advantage in the box, then you're going to run the football. If the box is loaded, then you're going to toss it outside or try to push the football downfield. And Arkansas did a good job of creating some confusion with kind of that hybrid role of where they were using multiple guys to confuse Nico and the offense, and the Jackson State transfer was kind of dropping into coverage at times after being in the box, or if he looked like he was in coverage, then he would come up in the box. But also, they're two big guys in the interior. Eric Gregory, and I'm blanking on the other name as well, but those two guys did a good job of eating up blocks and allowing Arkansas to win against the run, even if Tennessee had the numbers advantage in the box. So if Mississippi State could create some chaos on the interior, and more specifically, the tackles have really struggled for Tennessee this season. They've flustered Nico at times. They've led to Nico looking worse than he had actually planned. It's just been a real struggle for the LSU transfer, Lance Hurd, over at left tackle, and John Campbell Jr. as well. And he's kind of got a chronic knee injury that he's battling. So he'll start the game, but he usually doesn't make it through the game. So if Mississippi State can find a way to generate some pressure on that side of the ball, then that's probably you got to make it an ugly football game. And that's the route for Tennessee right now with the offense looking the way that it is, because just nobody's really getting anything against this defense. I mean, last week they did give up some explosive plays to Kentucky. They gave up a 50-yard run right out of the gates. I thought that they weren't locked in the way that they should be to start the football game. Maybe that bodes well for Mississippi State. Maybe Tennessee gets caught looking at the record. And because after the game, it was, why was Kentucky able to generate some explosive plays? Well, we weren't paying attention to the small details. We weren't in our gaps. We weren't aligned. That tells me that you weren't ready to play at the level you needed to at kickoff. So the hope for Mississippi State on that side of the ball would kind of be the same, because when this Tennessee defensive front is locked in, and you saw it in the second half, eventually knocking Brock Vandegrift out, and they've knocked several quarterbacks out. I mean, Tennessee has, I think, every game but Jalen Milroe except Alabama. I think Tennessee has faced the backup quarterback at some point, and part of it to me is absolutely Tennessee punishing the quarterback throughout the football game. So when they're locked in and fired up, ready to go, it's really hard to move the football. So State's got to find a way to muddy the waters and really confuse Tennessee's offense and generate some issues there through a lack of pass protection for Tennessee.
You talked about maybe a lack of focus at the beginning of the Kentucky game there. Any concern that Tennessee might be looking ahead to next week in that huge showdown with Georgia?
I don't think so. Josh Heupel has always done a good job of, you know, obviously every coach in America sells the let's go 1-0 this week, yeah, 1 week at a time. But for the most part, since Heupel has been at Tennessee, outside of the South Carolina game that doomed them 2 years ago, they've done good about keeping the main thing the main thing. That's another buzz phrase that college athletes like to use. The biggest issue this year has been coming off of the open week. I almost think that an open week is a bad thing for them. I think that's a worse thing than maybe looking ahead to Georgia. But there was a lot of hoopla around Tennessee 2 years ago. You had that big win over LSU, and then you were coming back home. Game day was coming to town with Florida. Then game day the next week with Alabama at home. And they handled business flawlessly, did not get caught looking ahead and pay attention to the outside noise. There's a lot of talk about Josh Heupel in year two, and that's kind of been the status quo throughout his tenure. Handled Oklahoma week really well with all that noise earlier this year. So they I believe they do a great job of truly taking each week treating each week as its own week. I mean, Dylan Sampson was on Paul Feinbaum on Tuesday, and it seemed like he genuinely did not know that the college football playoff rankings were being released on Tuesday night. So I think that speaks to how locked in this football team is. And I would be surprised if they got caught looking ahead.
The real question is, did he know it was election day? Because that's what you got. That's how locked in you want your football facility. Yes. It's election day? I have no idea what's going on there.
So. It's time for a new president?
That's apparently so. All right, Ben McKee, Go Vols 24/7, man. Thanks so much for your time. And I always appreciate you coming on with us.
Absolutely. I always appreciate you having me.
All right. Thanks to Ben. Appreciate his time. Really good stuff there, as always. That guy, first off, that guy's talents are being wasted in the journalism business. One of the smoothest voices. He should be in my business. He should be in the radio biz.
Well, he might be. I mean, doesn't he probably have a podcast?
If he does, he doesn't advertise it. I'll put it that way. But he needs to get one. That guy has a great radio voice. I'm going to ask you what I asked him. And his answer is not great for Mississippi State fans. I asked him, you know, what can you take from the Arkansas game and, you know, give it to Mississippi State to give them a chance? And he talked about how Arkansas was able to really muddy things up on the line of scrimmage on defense and put a lot of pressure on Nico. And I was just like, well, yeah, that's the wrong answer.
Yeah, Mississippi State can do that. Yeah, well, if a cow could fly.
Yeah, yeah. If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Figure it out from another perspective there, Robbie. What can State do? Because I don't think State can – I don't think Tennessee's defense is going to let you get into a shootout with them, right? But I don't think State can win a slugfest either, a low-scoring game, because they're just not going to be in low-scoring games. They're going to give up points. So it's kind of a catch-22 for State. Is it just going to be as simple as they got to force turnovers and try to get some extra possessions?
Yeah, it is. This is just not a good matchup.
It is not, no.
And what they do offensively, they haven't been great on the offensive side of the ball this year. They've had their moments. I think they're going through some growing pains. You got a redshirt freshman quarterback playing the SEC for the first time. Really high on this kid. I think he's going to be really good. But it's just, you know, it's up and down. They have a good, really good running back. And
best in the conference. He's leading the conference in rushing.
State struggles to stop the run. And, I mean, you just got to hope that they're having a bad game. I mean, that's – upsets happen. It's not impossible for Mississippi State to go in there and win. Upsets happen all the time. But from on the paper, which you don't play it on the paper, but on paper, there is nothing – that says that this is an upset special or anything like that. I mean, this is not a good matchup for Mississippi State I'll tell you why it's not a good matchup, because their defense is going to limit Mississippi State. State's not going to be able to run up, or at least it doesn't feel like they're going to be able to run up 30 plus
in the game. feel like if they score in the 20s, it'll be late in the game where they get a late score to put them at like 21 or something like that.
Yeah. And like I said, they did it against Georgia, so it's not impossible. Mm-hmm. But just from a pure matchup perspective, what Tennessee does, problem. Especially on the defensive line, Mississippi State struggled to pass block at times. Mm-hmm. It's just not a good matchup. So I'm looking at this game the same way I did Texas and Georgia. Can you find a way to cover and feel good about it? I mean, that's just – it's where I am with this team. I don't have anything – to add that would suggest that they have, you know, an upper hand somewhere.
Right.
Especially going in this environment. This is top four, top five environment in the SEC.
Maybe in college football. I mean, it's really good. They've done a great job there. One other thing that gives you some pause is as Ben told us there, Tennessee has knocked out a starting quarterback in almost every game this season. And they have a knack for it because they're so physical, so aggressive on the defensive line that, you know, it's not saying that, you know, they knock them out for the whole game, but there's probably going to be a series that goes to Chris Parson. It's because they are so relentless with their pass rush. So it's going to be a very tough, tough game. We'll talk a lot more about that on tomorrow's show when we do the three P's. We'll sneak some basketball in as well. Plus, Robbie, so Thursday night, I won't be able to do that. We'll have to talk women's basketball next week after they get a couple of games under their belt. But we will definitely do that next week. All right. Guys, have a great Thursday. Back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.